Also, a few weeks ago, I gave out these books, Praying Circles Around Your Children, and we didn't have quite enough for everyone. The rest of them came in, so if that's you that wanted one, you didn't get one, see Erin Martin. She has them, and she's got the names of most of you, but if you were missed and you want one, she will give you one. It's a great little book, and we bought it. I wanted the parents to have it. Pray circles around your kids. We're not going to let our kids just be anything to anybody. We are going to believe God that they're going to be great and do great things and serve the Lord all of their lives. And we're going to pray for that. We're not just going to sit by and let the world, the enemy, and whatever come along and take control of their lives. We are going to pray the blessing and the greatness of God in their... Come on today. Yes. And then on the table in the back, Dr. Mark Rutland's book, 21 Seconds to Change Your World. This isn't just for New Year's. This is for every day. You can start something new. You can start something better. One of the girls will be back out there to help you with one of those books if you're interested. It'll be a blessing to your life. You'll be different. You'll stay the same if you keep on doing what you've always done. You'll always get what you've always got. But if you change sometimes your surroundings, the people that you connected with, and the books that you read will change and launch you into the destiny that God has for you. Of course, the Bible first, always. And I'm going to talk about that this morning. Then I want to just encourage those of you, you don't normally come on a Thursday night. This Thursday night with Pastor Nick from Cork, Ireland, I met him when I was there a couple of years ago. Incredible man of God with a heart for humanity and the work of God. He contacted me a few weeks ago. He's going to preach this next Sunday at the Times Square Church, right in Times Square in Manhattan. I'm sure glad he's not there today because they're all shut down today. I'm so glad that weather moved past us. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, God. All you snow lovers, just get in your car and drive east. You'll get your fill after a while. But all those churches are closed down. So he's going there next Sunday, but he's going to come here on Thursday night. You want to be with him, maybe just by being here. Some of you, it could spur you on to go on a missions trip that is going to Ireland in May. And once you meet him, and he's just a really incredible man of God. I'd love to have you meet him. I preached in his church when I was there, and he's just a blessing. You will love him. And then next Sunday, I told you this last Sunday, I just felt inspired to tell you that you didn't have to move into this year carrying some things that you've carried right along with you. I told somebody a few weeks ago about getting rid of some drug paraphernalia. And I thought, you know, when I did that, I felt so inspired that there's people that come to church here every week. You're accepted. You're loved. I don't care what you've got going on. You're welcome. You have to behave yourself. If I catch you selling drugs here, I'm going to tell you, I won't tell you like I tell some people, but that's not good, okay? I may or may not call the police on you. You'd be better off if I did. Can't sell drugs here. You can't hurt people. You can't threaten people. But if any of those things aren't a part of your life, you're welcome here. We love you. But I would love you enough to help you not to go into this year caring and dealing with some of the things that you went into the last year with. So I'm going to get a barrel. We're going to put it here. And if that's you, next Sunday, you can come early. Now, nobody's going to be watching you. There's no one here. The one thing I love about the City Church is it is the least critical, judgmental people you will ever meet anywhere. Aren't you thankful for that? So nobody's going to be watching, but if you've got drug paraphernalia and you just say, you've been crying out to God, God help me to get rid of it. You got to make a step in that direction. You got to move forward. And not just drug paraphernalia. Maybe for some of you, maybe it's as I was just praying during worship, maybe it's a DVD. Maybe it's CDs. I don't know. Maybe it's things that you're looking at with your eyes. You need to get rid of it. And there's going to be, we'll have slots in this thing. Nobody's going in it afterwards. we're gonna destroy it. Nobody's gonna. This is a free zone here. Okay, you have an opportunity to say, God, I'm making a decision today. I'm gonna throw it away. I'm gonna put that behind me. I'm moving in to 2016 free indeed. The Bible says, "Whom the Son sets free, he is not only free; he is free indeed." And there's a freedom that waits you. You don't have to carry that stuff. For some of you, maybe it's a letter. Maybe somebody wrote you a letter. I said in the first service, years ago, somebody in our family sent my wife and I just a nasty letter. She says, I'm going to keep this and I'm going to... I said, no, you're not. She goes, what do you mean? I said, we're going to throw that thing away. Well, why would I throw it away? Because we're not going to let that, what somebody else thinks we are, define who God says we are. I'm not going to do that. I shredded that sucker up. We moved on. The unfortunate thing is they don't. You don't have to let something that somebody has said about you, over you, or tried to define you, you don't have to let that define who you are. You get rid of it. Bring it down. Act of faith. Step forward. Say, well, do I have to bring it to the barrel? No, you don't have to. But I'm giving you an opportunity. I'm making a way of escape for you. You can do that. For some of you, it could. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a bottle. You've got to make that slap big enough to hold a bottle, Ben. Maybe it's a bottle. I don't know. Maybe it's in your heart, in your mind. Maybe you need to pull out a tablet this week and just write down some things you need to let go of. You need to put it behind you. You need to move on. And let God define who you really are. Amen? You receive that today? Amen. So I want you to be praying about it. And you know, you might have some friends that don't come to church because they think people are going to judge them or criticize them. Tell them to come. You might have some people, they got all kinds of drug paraphernalia. We're not going to sell it at a garage sale. That was towards Paul, if you didn't know. When he got saved, he didn't know any better. And he was going on his first missions trip. And I didn't even know this until we got to Ireland. He gets up and they ask him to give a testimony. He says, well, when I got saved, he says, I had to raise money to come. So I got all my bongs and everything that I'm like, this guy's traveling with me and he's getting up and telling about selling his drug stuff at a garage sale to get money to go on a missions trip. Dear Jesus. So we're not selling any of it, okay? And we're not going to have, just relax. But tell some of your friends, hey, this is a morning for you and we're going to believe God to do great things. Oh, next week this whole week is going to be just incredible. I'm excited. I want to just carry on with this series, this thought this week again, with the thought of closer, reading out of James 4, verse 8. That's been our theme verse out of God's Word translation. Come close to God. He will come close to you. Psalm 145, 18, the Lord is near to all them that call on him, to all that call on him in truth. Hebrews 4, 16, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and may find grace and help in times of need. God, bless your word now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've just been so mindful this week of the importance of hearing and having the word of God as a part of our lives. Last Sunday, people were coming up. They were giving their heart to Christ. People were being prayed for. And as I'm leaving, standing up here behind the pulpit, I looked over here to my left and to your right, and I saw Lenny Brill, and he was standing up at the front, and he was holding up a Bible. Just by doing that, telling whoever needed a Bible to come, and he would give it to them. And I thought, boy, that just blessed me. And I thought, and I just began to ponder that. That stuck in my heart all week, Lenny, so powerfully, and how important the Word of God is in our lives. And I love to have all the things that make it easy for us here. How blessed are we to come into a church where there's heat today, and and we can sit down, and it's warm, it's comfortable. We've got a sound system. We've got screens up on the wall that have the scripture verses up there. But when you're gone from here, you can't take those screens with you. You have to take the Word of God with you. And that's why it's so important to have God's Word as a part of your life. It's so important to have either a Bible or something that you can look at on a regular basis and get the Word of God to be a part of your life. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Because nothing will change a life like the power of God's Word can change a life. That's why the Bible says in John 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word, it was God. All things were made by him, and nothing was made that wasn't made by him. And then the Bible says in John 1:14 that the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God is so important. And everything else may be nice, and we like it, and it may even be what causes you to attend a particular church service or another. But nothing will change your life like the power of God's Word will. Nothing will. Amen. You ought to clap on that. And I think one of the, I've had these defining moments through my life where I've seen that work. Maybe one of the greatest times was one of the first times I was in Kenya, and they said, you're going to preach at this particular church. And I remember riding out for an hour and a half out in the bush, and nothing or nobody was there. And it was a little tin shack with little wooden benches with a dirt floor and nothing. There were no houses around, nowhere, nothing was anybody. And then all of a sudden, people just started walking. And I'd hear that they'd walk for an hour, 2 hours to hear the Word of God and to let it impact them and change them. And they'd sit in that little tin hut with tears rolling down their eyes when the Word of God was spoken. My brothers and my sisters, today, nothing will change your life like the power of God's Word. And you need to make it a part of your life every single day. Let it become a part of you. My goodness, I'm feeling God right now. Let it permeate who you are. It will change you. It'll transform the most wretched person. It will conform you into His purpose and into His will. Patty and I were away for a few days this week, and in a car that we had a ride in, the driver, as I began to talk to him, I asked him where he was from. He said, I'm from the Dominican Republic. And as I began to talk to him, and he asked me what I did, and I said, I'm a pastor. And I thought he was going to stop the car. And he said, I'm without words. And he began to tell me a story about his grandfather, who, when he was a young boy, his grandfather was a part of a church, an organization that he would go and he would work in the church day and night, and he served the church. But he said that the leader, and I don't want to say any denomination, because I don't want you to think that I'm being mean to anybody. I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you a story. The denomination, the lead of it, did not give him a Bible. Said, you don't need to read the Bible for yourself. Anything you need to hear, you will hear from me. And he said that his grandfather went on and went on for years like that. And then one day somebody began to talk to his grandfather about who Jesus was and handed him a Bible. Oh, this is going to bless you. He began to tell me how his grandfather and his grandmother took the Bible into their house. They went into their bedroom. They locked the door. They pulled the shades down, turned on the light. And he said they began to read the Word, not for a few minutes, but they began to read it for hours. And they'd get so excited. And then they'd begin to pray. And then they'd begin to sing songs from the Bible, out of the Psalms. And he said, when I was just a young child, he said, I gave my heart to Jesus and I became born again. Oh, it was just a powerful story. And I thought how precious it was. And then he began to tell me that he says, as he got older, he began to move away from God because of the hardships that he had gone through in his life. And he asked me to pray for him. And I said, when we get there, I'm praying for you. And I prayed for him and asked God to reveal himself. And I thought it was no coincidence that God would connect me up with that person like that, right then and there. And I begin to think about how difficulties and hardships can have the propensity for some to move us away from the plan of God for our lives. Listen, don't forget what I told you today. The Word of God is so powerful in your heart and in your life. Everything will transpire out of your life from your understanding and just you hearing, reading, watching the Word of God. I begin to think about that, the difficulty and the hardships and what people go through that push them away from God. Now, remember this quote by A.W. Tozer. He said, "It's doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has wounded him deeply." I remember that quote from years ago. I don't particularly like it, but I have to tell you that it's true today, because life's pain will either conform you into the image of Christ or it will deform you away from who he is and who he wants to be in your life. And the choice usually is up to you and I, what we will do, how we will allow life's pain to influence who we are. Because we've spoken to people at both spectrums. And while one is trusting God, the other one may be cursing God, may be upset. And there is a secret of being an overcomer and not a succumber to the pain of this life. And Helen Keller, who is both deaf and blind, she said it so beautifully. She says, "Although the world is full of suffering, the world is also full of people who have overcome it with the help of God." And I love that, because there's people here today and those who are listening to me later that have gone through pain but have overcome the pain through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because pain is inevitable, but overcoming that pain is truly optional in our lives. Because we make the choice today that no matter what comes our way, with God's help, we will be overcomers in that. The story about last June, where a young 21-year-old man walked into the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina. He was invited, a white man, into an all-black church and an all-black circle of people. They welcomed him into their Bible study and their prayer meeting. And that awful night, he took the lives of 9 people that were in that group. And one of the survivors told the story afterwards and said that he did not begin shooting until all of our eyes were closed to pray. And how could anything that evil happen to such a kind-hearted group of people? But what truly happened weeks afterwards is what caught the attention of both black and white, both Christian and non-Christian. You see, because one by one, the family members there decided to do the unthinkable. They decided to take their pain, their misery, their hurt, and turn it around and let God use it for something great. They decided to forgive that man. And as I was reading the comments that some of them made, I began to weep again just hearing these words. One of them said, "I will never be able to hold her again, but I forgive you and have mercy on your soul," she said. "It hurts me. It hurts a lot of people. But God forgives you and I forgive you." My goodness. I'm not talking about somebody making a mistake on your check at the diner, stealing your parking spot, or being nasty to you at work. I'm talking about somebody that shot your loved one in a prayer meeting. Another sister spoke for another family member. She said, "We have no room for hate. We have to forgive. I pray God on your soul." Another one said, "We welcomed you Wednesday night in our Bible study with open arms," she said. "You have killed some of the most beautiful people that I know. But as we said," listen to this, "as we said in the Bible study, we enjoyed you, but may God have mercy on you." What can bring a person to become better in a midst like that? I mean, when I read that, that just made everything that I deal with look so small. But they chose to allow this to make them better, not bitter. Because it can be difficult to get through something like this. It can be difficult to get through some of the challenges that you and I are facing. They may be nothing like this. But God has come in the midst of it, not only to strengthen people like that, but to strengthen people like you and I. Because he doesn't minimize, no matter how small what you're going through is, it's not small in his eyes. It's great in his eyes. And you can face a painful situation and know that God is with you. And David says, and he puts this to the test, and he uses the word affliction in Psalm 119:67. Listen to this. He says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. It was good," verse 71, "for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees." See, there is a line in here that keeps us from our bitterness and keeps us from being angry and keeps us from turning away from God. In verse 92 and 93, he says, look at, "it's your law. If your law had not been my delight." Oh, my goodness. "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction." Woo! Have you ever been there? When you've been in such pain and agony? When you've been hurting and you didn't have nothing else but this right here? He said, "I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life." Oh, praise his name. Come on. Does somebody know what I'm talking about in here? And David is saying, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our hurt, in the midst of our affliction, we need God's word. We need the help of the word of the living God to be a strength in our lives and to keep us moving forward, not stuck in the behind. Because if you let your affliction and your pain and your hurt affect you and turn you into something else, you'll stay stuck in that the rest of your life. And my brothers and my sisters, it's 2016 and God wants to bring you out of that, and he wants to launch you in to what he has destined. Oh, I love that. What he has destined for your life. David's saying, "I need a word from God, and I got it. It'll keep me going." And he says, "Before I was afflicted, I went my own way. But now it's the word of God that carries me in his way." He says, "Now I obey your word." And the word became such a hope during his affliction. He says, my affliction even caused me to learn in the midst of it your decrees, your ways, better than I had ever known before. And isn't that so true? That in the middle of my pain, my hurt, my difficulty, that when I turn to the word of God and not turn to somebody else, or not turn to something else. Listen, you can turn to a bottle, a bag, a package. You can turn to all that, but none of that will help you. You turn to him and his word. He will lift you out of that, and he will cause your affliction to be a blessing in your life. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. And no one likes affliction. I'm not declaring this over anybody. Listen, I don't like it any more than you. But one thing is for sure, that an affliction will bring you to a posture that you are forced to make a decision. You are forced. And afflictions, no matter what degree, they're hurtful, they're challenging, they're difficult, but they will always cause you to either come closer or to move away. And I hope today I'm talking to somebody that maybe you're just on that teeter-totter where you're thinking, "I just don't know if I can do this." I want to tell you today, you can do it. You can make this. David said, "Unless I delighted in your word, I'd been finished. I'd been over." And some of you think that because you're a Christian, that you'll never have an affliction, and nothing could be further from the truth. I'm sorry to bring you that. I'm sorry to tell you that. Our choices, our sin, can contribute to a scenario of hurt, but you can be going on and doing everything right. John chapter 9, when the disciples went to Jesus about the blind man, they said, "Lord, why is he blind? Did he sin or his parents?" And Jesus said, "Neither sinned but it's for the Son of God to be glorified. You may be in an affliction today, and God wants to do something great. Because we're in a fallen world, we go through these things, and sometimes we go through a shaking in our lives. But what you are going through may be an option. Pain is not an option, but misery is. You can make a decision. I love the story. I've shared this before. A son came to his father, and he said, "I go through one pain after another, and I'm tired of the struggle." His father, who was a chef, took him into the kitchen and filled three pots of water and began to heat them. Soon the pots came to a boil, and in one he placed carrots, another he put eggs, and in the third pot he put coffee. The son was wondering what his dad was doing as he let them boil for a moment and then began one by one to take them out of the boiling water. And while he turned the heat off, he took the carrots, he put them in a bowl. He took the eggs, he put them in another bowl. And he took the coffee and he poured that into a jar. He said, "What do you see?" to his son. "Are you the carrots? Are you the eggs? Or are you the coffee?" He brought him closer and he said, "Feel the carrots. Notice that they're soft." He said, "Take the egg and break them." And he noticed that the egg that went in one way, it came out hard. And then he said, "Taste the coffee." And the son, as he drank it, he said, I love the taste of it. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "No matter what the adversity that we go through, we can be affected in a multiple of different ways. The carrots went in hard and came out soft. The eggs went in fragile, they came out hard. The coffee was unique, because it went in the water, and the water didn't change the coffee. The coffee changed the water. Are you like eggs that come out hard and say, there is no God? Or are you like a carrot that just falls apart and say, I can't do this? Or are you like the coffee that you go in, and no matter what you got into, you're going to come out and you're going to be an influence in the middle of your adversity, in the middle of your pain? You're going to be that tall, blonde, black eye coffee that I had this morning. Hallelujah. You're going to let it influence the world and not let what happened to you influence you. You're going to be the person that's going to rise up out of that challenge, out of that difficulty and say, I'm not going to let this define me. I'm going to be bigger than that. I'm going to let the Christ in me come out of me and be a vessel for him to use in the days to come. I'm going to walk in the destiny that God has called me to. You see, affliction and failure does not define you or hold you into the place that you failed or you went through the affliction. It just gives you a launching pad to come out of where you've been. Hallelujah be to God. David said, the only way I would have survived it, it's because I delighted in your word. Oh, we need God's word in our life. When I delight in his word, I have placed my confidence in the secure measures of what will never fail. I immerse myself in it, and no matter what outside forces try to come and pull me away, I can rest assured that it will be minimized, and the hope and the strength and the power of God's Holy Spirit will deliver me into my future. The word of God begins to test that independent renegade spirit that is within some of us that say, I can do this on my own. And the truth of the matter is, you were not made to do it on your own. You were made to depend on God, your Lord and your Savior. God said to Isaiah 48:10, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. Listen, I have chosen thee, where? In the furnace of affliction. God, you don't have to do that. You can choose me, you know, in the sunshine of my glory. No, he says, I'm going to do something great. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I know that I'm encouraging someone right now. The Bible says he speaks in the middle of your affliction, and that God chooses you, and he begins to show you what you are going to be. And I had him come up last week. I had these guys come up. And I was thinking of Chris. You know, the greatest thing is not, you know, just that his testimony is great. But you don't know all that went on in his life. How God saved him in the darkest point of his life. And now, God is so cool. Because while he was in jail and he gets down on his knees, he's going to commit suicide. And he gives his heart to Jesus now. Because God chose him in the midst of that furnace of affliction. Now he goes back into the jail and tells others about the goodness and the greatness of God. That's what God will do in your life. Come on today. I just want to give you these three thoughts and then I'm done. Number one, you got to embrace what God can do in your life. Embrace it. Zephaniah 3:17. I love this verse of scripture. The Lord your God, he's in your midst, the mighty one. He will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I don't read a lot of his stuff, but I love Charles Spurgeon said this. He said he didn't sing when he made the world. He looked upon it and said it was good. He could have sang and could have created 1,000 worlds by just his will, but he didn't. But the Bible says, Spurgeon says that when the Lord saw the salvation of the redeemed, he rejoiced in the divine manner, and he sings over you today. He sings over you today. Number two, commit yourself to the plan of God. Quit trying to commit yourself to your plan. I'm a goal. I'm a dreamer. I love that. But at the end of the day, it better fit with God's plan for your life. And if it isn't in this, it isn't anything to do with God. Psalm 35 in the Living Bible says, his anger lasts for a moment. His favor lasts for life. Weeping may go on all night, but joy, it's coming in the morning. And then lastly, ask God to help you to forgive. You know, when I was younger, I was preaching. I'd get up and I'd preach. Nobody's going to leave here today. If you got unforgiveness in your heart, you got to get right with God. And I kind of minimized the depth of what that could be in somebody's life. And when people just come up and they're well-meaning, say, you just got to forgive and love them. You've never been through nothing. You've never had anybody back up on you and dump a load of life over top of you and you couldn't even see. But God can help you and I to forgive. Luke 11:4, and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And God is great enough to do that. Jesus alone can enable us to forgive the ones who seem to be unforgivable, like a man that kills 9 people in a prayer meeting. The most important of all is that the forgiveness that we receive through Jesus will empower you and I to forgive others. We need to forgive today. We need to let God, in the midst of our affliction, we need to let the Word of God draw us closer to Him. I don't know really who I'm talking to today. I just felt, when I was praying over this last night and this morning, I felt just this rumbling in my heart of people that have been going through things and you've been facing a challenge and you've just been contemplating all kinds of things. Should I move away? And you never even really contemplated coming closer. He wants to come closer to you. Draw close to God. He'll come close to you right in the middle of an affliction, right in the middle of a pain in your life. He loves you so much. He cares for you so much. He wants to help you. And let me say this one last thing. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, you need to do that today. You don't want to go on living without Him. Prayer people, I want you just to come down here. We're going to close the prayer in just a moment. You don't want to live without Him. I'm not talking about, this isn't joining church or becoming religious. This is talking about having a relationship with the one that can transform your life. You may not know Him. You may have gone to church all your life. And when you read this Bible, it just is dead to you. Can I tell you something for sure today? That if Jesus is Lord of your life, you'll get this. It'll be first place in your life every day of your life. I'm going to pray here for you this morning. We're going to close in prayer in just a minute. I want you just to close your eyes and bow your head. I just want you to know you could come today. If you're in the middle of that affliction, you don't have to stay there. Let the Word of God transform you and change your life. Make you into a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so thankful today. I sense His power in here right now. Close your eyes, every one of you this morning. I don't know who it is I'm talking to, but I sense God's power working right now. Who am I talking to? You? Every eye is closed. You're in the middle of an affliction. You just need the help of God. Lift up your hand right now. I'm going to pray for you. Lift it up. Don't be afraid. God bless you. About today, you're here and you never gave your heart to Jesus. I'm not talking about you gave Him your heart one time and then you've messed up. I'm talking about you never have prayed a prayer. Jesus, come into my heart, my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want you to raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you before I go. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Still put your hand up if that's you. Put it up. You never gave your heart to Christ. God bless you. About five people. Hallelujah. Honey, come here.